This is Business Women Australia podcast, featuring industry leaders who bring their wealth of expertise from diverse areas to help you build a successful business. Now, onto the show. And welcome to another episode of Business Women Australia podcast. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross. Now, joining me on today's show is Martina Saldi. Now, Martina is a 36-year-old Italian. She is a wife and a working mum of an active four-year-old, Leonardo. Now, Martina's native background is in Italian, but after more than 7 years spent across Tokyo, Sydney, Singapore, she feels like she has many backgrounds. Now, during these years, Martina had the chance to develop an incredible resilience, having to start her career from scratch in two different countries, and she's been able to do that successfully. She has herself 12 years of experience in sales and marketing in APJ, as well as Europe regions, mostly for tech companies such as Microsoft Corporation. Now, she develops data-driven go-to-market strategies to drive revenue growth. Now, on today's show, Martina is going to share her personal experience and her insights on what it means to be a working woman in a foreign country. She's going to help us to navigate motherhood as an expat and a working mum, as well as tips for women who are experiencing similar challenges, even if by choice, and so much more. So welcome to the show, Martina.
Thank you, Anna Maria. It's a pleasure to be here today. Thanks for the introduction. Lovely.
Oh, look, it is wonderful to speak with you today. And as I said in the introduction, you have had to pick yourself up, move to a different country, start a whole new career. You've done that a number of times. But of course, not only that, you were also a mom. And so navigating motherhood and having to move, you know, across countries and so forth with a young one as well. So you've got lots to share in that particular area. I would imagine that what you have learned and the insights and the support that you've obviously given yourself, I bet you wish that you had had someone that you could talk to many years ago who would help you navigate that with you through that. Would you agree?
Yes, of course. And that's mostly the reason why I'm here, right? So, you know, sometimes for women it's hard to speak about their challenges and what we went through, you know, sometimes because some moments can be hard. So, I think that being an expat, the most important thing is to know that you're not alone in that journey, that there's plenty of women like me that, you know, can help you just, you know, feeling that kind of net around you or network around you that can help you really, you know, into navigate. What helped me really was reading stories from other women. Mm-hmm. So to keep up my resiliency and continue, you know, working on what I believed was good for me. Yes. And so, yes, I'm really keen to, you know, share my personal story to help other women potentially. I hope so.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. You know, one of the things that we'll often do as women is there may be a challenge or there may be something that is getting us down, if you will, and we can often then think, I'm the only one that's going through this or no one understands what I'm going through. Take us or share with us some of the things that you experienced being a working woman and finding yourself in a foreign country. What were some of the challenges that you faced? The reason I ask that is because let's open this topic up for conversation. Let's normalize it so that others who may be experiencing it don't feel, well, that must be something that's wrong with me, that I can't, you know, negotiate this or can't navigate through this. When in actual fact, it's something that many women who are in a foreign country and working women are finding themselves experiencing. What were some of those things?
Yeah, I think that depending on what age you're going away from your country, so you can be very young and that, of course, puts yourself in a very different approach. But when, like me, you decide to take that step later in the years, like, so I moved when I was 31. And the reason why I left my country was because my husband got a job offer. So I was already working in Italy. I loved my job. But to me, family kind of comes first. So that was always a desire of mine to, you know, traveling and start and, you know, trying to have experience around the world. Reality is that when you have your own professional background and you land in a country and basically you know no one and you have no network, it could be challenging. Like sometimes you find yourself in interviews and you don't really understand the country you're in and what is required in a specific country, what they're looking for. So you don't succeed immediately. So of course, that could be frustrating. And plus, another challenge is the language barrier. So for example, the first time I landed in Japan, that was really, really a big challenge. So I had to start studying Japanese straight away. But of course, it's a very difficult language to keep, like, you know, to learn. So it doesn't really come necessarily straight away, the opportunity for a job when you have zero knowledge of a language. And this happens also in Australia, where I thought, yeah, I can speak English very easily. But then when it comes to present yourself in an interview, maybe you need to put yourself into study again. And when you may be already in the workforce for maybe 10 years, it could be challenging in a way. So, and these are a few of the things that I think could be very challenging at the beginning. Another thing is that you have no network, and it's not just, you know, on a professional point of view, but also on a personal point of view. Sometimes you find yourself with no friends, so you don't really know where to look at, you know, to have that kind of relationship that you really need. So these are the challenges that I think are most important, especially when you are a mom. So yeah. When you have a family, so you need to decide, for example, the childcare. So you enter in a completely new system that do not apply to your experience. So you need to learn a lot, and sometimes you have no guidance there. So these are the most challenging things, or at least what was challenging for me at the beginning.
Yes. And so when, I mean, obviously one of the greatest lessons is we can gain from hindsight, and maybe now there are things that you would recommend women who are moving from a different country to a new country. There are some steps maybe to support them in, you know, navigating through that, obviously getting the support from someone such as yourself. But if you were to go back to that younger woman who was going to be making these moves and so forth, what would be some of the things that you would say to her to help her better prepare?
So the first thing I would say is be humble. So don't go with having the expectation of knowing everything, right? Because you had your own experience before, and what worked for you before not necessarily will work in a new country. So very be humble and open-minded, and put yourself in a learning journey. So that's a very, very important thing. And then don't be ashamed to ask for help. So help can come in different ways, depending on what you're looking for. But what I found very helpful for me when I came in Japan, when I arrived in Japan the first time, was to find those events between expats, for example, both professional and non, and join them. Go there with an open mind and to find new people and take their own learning. And really sharing of experience really help you to understand the country you're in, how could possibly be a good experience from another person, and how can, you know, that experience be beneficial for you and for your own path in a country. So, for example, I remember that I never identified myself like as the mommy, 100% mommy. So I was a bit resilient sometimes at the beginning to join the group of mommy, because I thought, oh, maybe they're gonna speak just about kids and babies. But then I was wrong. I was really wrong. And now that I'm a mommy, I understand that the kind of prejudice that we have sometimes for those people that are not necessarily sharing our specific experience may lead us in the wrong path. So maybe join those groups, because there is very a lot of valuable people in every group. So in Japan, for example, I was very lucky with my job. I found a job in an Italian institution, but what also helped me was a group of mommy there. So that actually I joined this group and was not a group of mommy, but a group of, sorry, of women. Yeah. Most of them were older than me, but I found like very good friends in there and very good insights. So like I would say that the difference in age do not really like is not important for me anymore. At first, you know, I thought maybe we have different interests, but reality is that you can learn a lot from a lot of people than you do not expect.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you know what I'm really hearing from you is that having a supportive network is so important. Yeah. And as you said, one of the greatest lessons you've learned is that it doesn't matter the age groups. And in fact, I think it's always good to have people from various age groups, because there's women who are quite a lot older who can share stories, you know, and insights that we can certainly learn from, and of course our peers of the same ages as well. So when you're talking about kind of supporting someone through the lessons and insights that you've learned navigating motherhood as well as a working mum, I mean, there's obviously those two things that you have to navigate: work, you're an expat, but also a mum, so you've got to juggle that too. What were some of the greatest lessons you've learned here?
Speaking about myself, I really was a challenge for me at the beginning, because I became a mother in Japan. So I was far away from all family. So the first thing for me was really understanding how I should be a mother in a foreign country where, you know, all the rules that apply and all the tips I was getting from my family were, you know, different from what I was, for example, hearing from doctors there. So, you know, so one thing that was really important for me is, and still working on that, like find my own way to be a mother, right? So I think that one of the things that you need to really learn how to tackle is, you know, to balance what is your cultural background and what is really could be your way of happiness in a way, and balance in life. So, for example, I come from Italy, where we have this very traditional idea of family. And sometimes what we expect from women, is that once they become wives or mothers, they're gonna focus on the family and the kids, which is of course true. It never was the case that I didn't want to, you know, focus on my kid. But at the same time, you know, I really wanted to still continue in my career path. So, but speaking with people with very good intentions, don't get me wrong, that loved me very much. You know, sometimes the feedback I was and the tips I was getting were like, okay, enjoy family. You should be happy with the, you know, taking care of your kid. So if you feel like you want to work, just find something easy for you, you know, and so you can occupy your days. And of course, I felt frustrated at the beginning, really frustrated, because that wasn't what I want to do. Like the way I see my career is doing something I really care about, make an impact, and didn't really feel like I found myself into like, yes, I'm a mommy that I'm taking this job just to occupy my time, because really my first focus should be only my family and my kid. And the sense of guilt rises. So I think that, and reading speeches from other working mothers really helped me out there. So I read a lot of articles from very inspiring leaders, women leaders that also experienced that sense of guilt, you know, that sometimes is there. And it's there because you grew up thinking that you should like completely focus all of your time and your efforts into your kid and your family. And you feel guilty if you also want to focus on your career or your work. But I guess that let go that sense of guilt sometimes and stop judging ourselves, because maybe we are different from a model we grew up with. Right. So I think that is fundamental, because I think that and that's why I'm so grateful about having this experience in different countries, because we need to open up our minds. And, you know, what is was true for us, what was our reality is not like the reality all across the world. There are different countries, different different realities, and what could apply in Italy or in Japan or in Singapore could be different in other places. So it's really find your own way there. And I think it's also important to stop judging other women at the same time.
So true. Couldn't have said it any better than you, Martina. But one of the things that I wanted to pick up on, and so this is so good to talk about, you know, so often what we try and do as women is we try and placate, if that's the right word, we try and, you know, this, my family's telling me this and I'm going to try and do that. And inside, we kind of know what we want. And yes. What is it about not giving ourselves permission to go, you know what, they are trying to be helpful. That's their eyes and that's what they know to be true. But this is best for me. Would you say that sometimes if we're torn between, you know, two conflicting, because you said, you know, your parents and family were telling you one thing, yet you were hearing other things, and we become torn. If you were to look at what you were thinking, you kind of knew what you wanted to do, but you just, I don't know, you swayed between that. What got you to the point where you said, you know what, I'm going to make the decision that's right for me and the right for my child and right for my family? What did it come quickly, or did you find that you had to kind of, it developed over time?
I think that for me it was natural. Like the real challenge for me was when I was not getting the results I wanted. So, you know, I was not succeeding in finding the opportunities I wanted. So sometimes I found myself thinking, oh, maybe all this feedback I'm getting, they are right. You know, I cannot do everything. So I should just accept this and go on with that. So I felt like sometimes the real challenge for me, it was, I felt like giving up. And this is why I'm here today also, because I found many women, a lot of friends that just give up because it was very difficult. And you find yourself alone in there because you're not succeeding in finding the job of your dream. And you have all these things to deal with and a lot of, you know, kind of, scheme we grew up with, but I think that for me was I never stopped trying. So that's the key. Sometimes just accepting sometimes that we are not perfect, so we cannot just try in the perfect way. Yes. As women, we usually are perfectionists, right? So we want to do things at the best, whereas sometimes it's not a matter of doing at our best, which is not possible, because sometimes you're just down or just, you know, feel alone. And instead of hearing those voices that say, ah, maybe you're a little bit depressed, or you're like that or that, or you're experiencing that, or other people feedbacks, just, you know, stop judging ourselves and, you know, just continue doing what we can do day by day. So smaller steps, yes, continuing. And I think for me, having the example of my mother as a working mom, that more for necessity, let's say, but and a supportive husband was really key for me.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I think we so often forget is that when people do share their views, you know, so often we can take them the wrong way. We can see it almost as a judgmental call. Like when in the instance of, say, your mother, she may so often the people who are sharing, you know, the best advice or support that they think will support us, for her, she may have felt that she needed to go to work to support the family. Had she had the choice, she would have loved to stay home with her family. And so sometimes seeing and appreciating the context of where they're coming from, the context of her life and what happened to her growing up, we're able to see what they're sharing with us and their advice through a different lens. We don't take it as such a negative, if you will, like a judgmental thing, but rather that was true for my mum or my auntie or whoever. And so sometimes, you know, just doing that, seeing it through their lens of what they're seeing can make the situation far more different, can't it?
Yes, certainly. And another thing I think that is important when you're an expat is that sometimes you're living a very specific situation that none of your family lived before, you know, because you're in a foreigner country. So, for example, sometimes the challenge is to lend the message, you know, of what you're feeling and what you're living in that moment, right? Whereas for some people and friends, you're just living the dream, you know, you went in a foreigner country, you made it, you're married, you have a family, and you should be grateful for that. And that's it, right? So, and it's so true, you are, but at the same time, it could be challenging. Sometimes it's very difficult to, you know, feeling connected to the people you love or the people you used to be connected with. Because our situation is so specific. So that's why I'm saying it's very important to find other people that live what you're living in the moment and maybe join a group of expats because they are all living that. Yeah. They're all living that.
Yeah, so, so true. And it's easy for us to give advice to someone and yet not know the circumstances that they're in. And there are just some things, you know, and this is my daughter, and I shared this in one of the other episodes. My daughter will often say to me, Mum, I'm just sharing this. I do not expect you to give me any advice. I'm not looking for advice. I just need to share what's going on. And she said, you know, I feel much better now. And sometimes that's all it is, isn't it? And maybe sometimes it's preempting from to your family. I don't need any advice, so please do not get into, you know, problem-solving mode. I just need to share what happened today. That's all. I just need an ear. And that can be fine. And ultimately, you mean your family wants the best for you, don't they? And often we do that we try and jump in and give solutions and ideas and things to them, but they may not necessarily be helpful. What would you say if someone is listening today, or maybe even the recording, Martina, where do we start to look for some of these expat communities? Where are some of the more common areas that we can find them? Did you look online?
Social networks are definitely like a good tool. There are usually groups of mothers or expats or women or just specific groups around like some of the passion. For example, I like to play beach volley. Yeah. So you find groups even of something that you like. So social networks are like really important. So that really worked for me. But also like institutions, like sometimes institutions organize events, networking events for expats, so the embassy or other kind of institutions. Like if you just go online and look for what's in there, you really find like these groups and these events are really helpful.
Yeah. And if we can't find one, maybe that's a good opportunity to start one and then put a note out on social media and saying, do you know if there's any women that are from, you know, this country that would like to gather together? And now, of course, we've got some wonderful tools that if we're not able to travel or, you know, we can certainly meet and connect online too. But that can make a huge difference, can't it? Just to be able to have a chat to someone, maybe in your own language.
At the beginning. Yeah, at the beginning, of course. Then, you know, not always you end up finding the right people there. You know, it takes a year, and we always laugh with my husband because we kind of set this average time of 2 years before you find your own people, right? And then could happen in different places. Like my best friends now comes from like the other mommies from the childcare, and they're not Italian at all. So, you know, but at the beginning, that is very important. Yeah. When you find yourself that you know no one. So that's the start of your journey.
Yeah. When you look back to when you first moved, I think you said that you, the first move was from Italy to Tokyo, to Japan.
We transit some months in Singapore. And then,
that's right.
Yes, yeah. And then,
does it get easier each move, or does each country have its own set of challenges?
Yes, I would say that because it depends also from the person you are, right? That for me, having my social network is so important. So, I mean, I wouldn't say that it's easier because every time you have to build on and find your own people. So it takes time. It takes time every time. So, but of course, on a personal way, you become more resilient and you start to understand really that it's not depending on you. It's just reality. So it takes time. So you kind of develop that patience and resiliency in not taking like the unsuccess or the, you know, the challenges that you're facing as result of yourself, but rather, you know, a reality for people that move, and and that's it, right? So it's sometimes not depends on us, and most of the time is not because on who we are, on why we are not getting there faster. It's just because it's the experience itself. So I think that what I take from my experience is that. You know, I really feel sometimes I feel like I'm less explosive than before. I used to be very explosive as a person. Maybe I'm a little bit less of that, but definitely stronger inside.
Yeah, in beautiful. Sense. Yeah, and I think as you mature in age, you develop, and then there's certain things that you think. Well, the younger me may have responded and reacted that way, but you know, I'm a little bit more mellow now because you've got a lot more experiences that help you navigate through that. So if someone's listening today or watching, I know that they've gained a lot of insights, supportive, helpful. And I think sometimes just hearing someone else share their story and their journey, we realize, oh, thank goodness, I'm not just the only one who's experiencing that. And there are ways and supportive networks that can help. What are some ways that people connect with you if they want to reach out, Martina, and say hello? What is the best way for them to do that?
LinkedIn. And of course, you can find me easily on there. I always look at that. So there's also my contacts in the Businesswoman Australia website. And yes, the last thing I want to say, it's important to always be ourselves. Like, you know, if there is something that we need to continue doing, no matter the country we are in, there is one truth, who we are. We may not be perfect, but if we are like stick on who we are, and we may find the right people. So that's very important because sometimes as women, I found like we try to be what we think that people or companies expect us to be, whereas you just end up in the wrong place.
Yeah,
it's important to be yourself and stick on who you are. So that gives you the feeling of not wasting your time in doing something that is not worth for you. So that's important.
Yeah. Wise words to finish this interview. Well, thanks once again for sharing your insights and your journey. And we're so fortunate to have you now here in our country and being able to share that. So, you know, if you'd like to connect with Martina, businesswomenaustralia.com.au is the website that you can go to find out if you're not yet a member and you're thinking, who is and what is Business Women Australia? Please go and check out that website. And then there's an area there where there's a membership opportunity. So please go ahead and check that out. Once again, thank you so much, Martina, for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. Bye.